Okay, you are tuned to WHPK 88.5 FM in Chicago. You are now tuned to the Sitting in the Park show. Today is a special show because it's going to be all Esquire's Day, and we're going to start off the show with an interview with Sam Pace, original member of the Esquires, and he's on the phone right now from Milwaukee. Sam, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, great. So thanks so much for being on the phone and telling your story. So throughout the show, we're going to go over the history of the group and be playing their records. So it should definitely be interesting. As you might know, the Esquires are from Milwaukee, but being that they're still probably one of the greatest Chicago soul groups having recorded and in Chicago, and all the records have that great Chicago sound. So Sam, can you start talking, first of all, about how you got started singing?
Yes. Well, it was back in the 60s, you know, and so, you know, Al was, his brother-in-law was, well, that hit me, too. I used to hear him practice all the time, so I always wanted to meet him.
Are you originally from Milwaukee?
No. I'm from Kansas City.
Okay, and did you actually sing back when you were in Kansas City, too?
Yes, I was singing. I had a little group back in Kansas City, yes.
What was it? Do you remember the name of your group?
Well, that was so long. I don't even think we named it back then. We were just starting off.
Were you in grade school back then, or high school?
No, I was in, like, junior high.
Okay, so what year did you move to Milwaukee?
I moved here in, I think it was in 62.
Okay.
Yes, I'm like 62. I remember.
And so you were talking about how you knew the two brothers of the Esquires.
Yes, I knew Albert's wife's brother. We went to a school called Rufus King here. So, and I was like sitting on the porch, and I was kept hearing all this singing. I said, "Man, somebody is singing." He said, "You want to meet him?" I said, "Yeah." So that's how he took me down there one night. It was rehearsing. And so one of the guys didn't show up, so he kept saying, "Well, Sammy can do that note." And I kept saying, "Be quiet, man. That's one of, you know." And Alvin said, "Man, can you sing that part?" I said, "Yeah." And I sang it, so that's how I got in.
So who were you watching practice? It was Elvis and...
It was, at the time, the group was called Betty Moore and the Esquires.
Okay.
You know, and it was Betty, Gilbert, Elvis, and they had another guy named Carl was doing it. The note I'm singing now.
So originally, the people you met were Betty Moore, Gilbert Moore, Elvis Moore, and someone named Carl?
Carl Campbell, yes.
Carl Campbell was his name?
Yes. He was doing that part, but see, and the second rehearsal, he didn't show. And I was, I had a foot in the door, so I was at all the rehearsals. And so that's how Johnny kept telling, you know, John Garland kept saying, "Well, Sammy can do the note," because he didn't show up. And that's how that happened.
So John Garland was your friend who took you to see that?
Yes, that's Albert's wife's brother.
Okay. So... The original. So, did you join the Esquires at that point?
Yeah, I was a little here and there because they wanted me to. I was mainly wanted to do background, so they wanted me to lead a song, and I didn't heard how they sing, so I was scared to death. So,
just because they were real tight singing up front.
Yeah, I was kind of scared to death. So, but anyway, they Elvis and Betty. You know, talked to me and let me go on into the background, and I came from background and went on.
So back then, I know one thing I think of when I think of the Esquires is all the songs have the really high, like almost falsetto lead.
Yes.
Were they singing that way back in 62?
Well, no, because Betty was doing all the leading.
Okay.
And actually, Gilbert was doing the bass. And he's the one doing all the top stuff. Me and him do all the high stuff now.
So he's the guy singing real high lead on most of the tracks, but he was actually singing bass back then, you're saying?
Yeah, back then when Betty was in the group, he was doing the bass.
And
he jumped from that. And so when she left and went to the organizers. She was doing jazz, so they left me Alvis and Gilbert.
So she was with Odell Brown and the organizers?
Yes. Mm-hmm. They was in out of Chicago, too.
So she was just singing at their shows and on their records and stuff? She was just a female voice with the group?
Right, right.
And so what year did she leave?
You know, I forgot. You know what? I'm trying to think. It's got to be before we Get On Up came out, about the same time. I figure about 67, 68, something like that.
So, and you had been telling me before that you guys actually did a recording before Get On Up, is that right?
Oh, yeah, yes. This is a group here called the Bonnevilles, and we did background work with them, you know. And then before that, I think, I don't know if it was Harvey Scales or somebody, they were there, did something before I got in the picture.
So, but you're actually on record on an album by the Bonnevilles, is that right?
Oh, yes.
So that's a Milwaukee, like, rock group or something like that?
Yes, they're a rock group from here.
And they cut a whole album, is that right?
Yes, they did.
When did that come out?
I don't know when the release came out, but I know it had to be, I was still going to school, so it had to be, like, 63, something like that.
And you guys, like, So they just cut an album and you guys just sing on some of the songs?
Yes. We was getting booked. I forgot who was the agent that we had booking us. And we was on the same show with them. So then they asked us if we want to do backup work with them. So we said yes, and that's how we hooked up. So, and then we all started doing all kind of gigs together.
So you were touring mainly around the Milwaukee area?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So can you talk about what the scene was like over at that time? Like, did you do shows with other Milwaukee groups like Harvey Scales and the Seven Sounds? Or
yes, it was a lot. Back then, it was a lot of bands here.
What were some of the other
Seven
big bands?
Seven Sounds, the Cheaters, and I'm telling you, it was flooded here with bands.
And what type of shows did you guys do? Were they like nightclubs, sock hops? Like what were the type of venues you did?
We did most of the nightclubs, you know. We was a nightclub act, you know, and did skits and stuff, you know.
So I know when Harvey Scales was up in here telling his story, he was talking about how a lot of the shows they did were like for white college audiences, like
fraternity scene. Oh, yes, most of them were then, back there, yes. We were doing a lot of up north things. You know, up north means around Green Bay, Oshkosh, and all around in there. So we did a lot of those.
Did that group, the Bonnevilles, become like your backing band at the shows?
Yes, they backed us, you know. You know, so then they changed their name. I don't forgot what their name was, but they had changed it. But they was pretty big back then.
Okay. And so you just kind of gigged around Wisconsin from like when you joined 62 through 67 when Get On Up came out, is that right?
Yes.
So so what's the story? First of all, you said Betty Moore left right before Get On Up came out.
Yes, she did. She had went to, you know, like I said, she had went with the organizer. Cause she's a jazz singer anyway, you know, so.
So she left you with three members total after she
right,
left.
Right, because just four of us there.
And I know on, so what's the story? How did you come to Chicago to do Get On Up? What's the story?
Oh, yeah, so we used to love the Impressions, so we kind of built our thing around, so we did all these songs, because when Ali Singer had left, so we used to do all the Curtis Mayfield and Impressions stuff. And so when we started writing songs, we sounded so much like them, so they said, well, look, man, Curtis ain't got his money gone. We was at, we went to every record company up and down Michigan Avenue at that time. That's what was going on, Chess Records and all those, you know. So, and they said, hey, look, when you get y'all sound, come back and we make them do something. So that's how that was. So we came back here.
So by Get Your Sound, you mean they wanted you to sound different than the Impressions?
Right.
Okay. So you said you came back to Milwaukee to try to fine-tune your sound?
Right. We went back and went in the basement, and we came up. We started off with a song. We named it Stick Shift. And we had a little dance to it, and Stick Shift came to be Get On Up.
Okay. So is that where you first came up with that kind of high falsetto lead?
No, we always did. After Betty left the group, we just was doing that high stuff.
And were you saying you were inspired by, like, Curtis?
Yes, we were. As a matter of fact, they was our managers for a while.
You're saying the Impressions were your managers?
Yes, yes, they were.
And so did you sing lead on any of the tracks, too, or who did those high falsetto parts? Was it Gilbert and Elvis mainly?
It was me and Gilbert.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So then so after you fine-tuned your sound, did you come back to Chicago?
Yes, we did. And then we went up and down Michigan Avenue. We came to Constellation Records with Bucky Shepherd. At the time, I think Gene Chellum was on that label.
Yeah, he was probably the biggest star on the label.
Yes, and so but he just told us, he said, oh, look, man, I like this. And he said, I cut it in 2 weeks. And I blew my mind. You know, we didn't ever think nobody ever do anything for us. And so we came back to Milwaukee, and he called and said, man, come back over here next week. And that's how we met Tom Tom.
Okay. So
Tom Tom was the arranger for most all our stuff.
So were you still only three members at that time?
No. Oh, no. It was we had hooked up with Sean Taylor.
Okay. When did Sean join the group?
Sean joined the group right before we did that. So right before we recorded Get On Up.
How did you meet Sean?
Sean knew the family way before I did. Yeah. And so then I got to know him, you know, after a while. Then everybody knew everybody by then. So he was singing with us.
Do you know if Sean had ever sang in a group before singing with you guys?
Let's see. I think he was a singer, I think. I know he was hanging with Sam Cooke and all around in there.
You think he was like a solo?
And Bobby Womack, yeah. He was with Bobby Womack and company and you know, Sam Cooke. That's, you know, and so that's what he was doing things.
So what part did he sing in the harmony?
Oh, he was a tone singer.
He was a what?
He was tone and lead. He did the other side of Get On Up, Listen to Me.
Okay.
That was him leading that.
Oh, okay. So so you said you came to Chicago and you hooked up with Bunky Shepherd at Constellation, and he and Tom Tom recorded you?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so I know that you had another member from Chicago join. Did he join by then? Was he on Get On Up also?
No. How that happened? Millet Edwards. So how that happened was he was recording. He was with Bunky too.
Okay.
And so he was in the studio recording.
And he had previously been in the Shepherds also, right?
Oh, yes. He was the lead singer for the Shepherds. And so he was recording. We was doing background work with him. And so he was out there listening, and we was doing the Get On Up thing, and he heard that bass thing. And he came in and said, I hear something. So Bucky said, we're going to go on in there. So, and that's why that Get On Up thing came in.
So does he do the bass on that record?
Yes, they do. That's him doing the bass.
So first of all, you guys were already recording by him. I know behind him you're saying, and I know he had a solo record on Constellation, and then he was at your session and he heard you guys recording and he added that part.
Right, because we was both recording on the same day. Instead of having two dates, either he had him do his thing, Miller do his thing, then we came in to do ours. So we was on the same date.
So Miller added the low Get On Up part after the high part, pretty much.
Right.
Okay, well, we've been talking for a while. Let me play the record, and we could talk a little bit more. So this is the Esquires' first record as the Esquires, and this is Get On Up.
Get
Okay, that was just Esquires with their very first record, which was a huge national hit called Get On Up. And if you're just tuning in, I have Sam Pace, member of Esquires, on the phone talking about his music. So on that record, who sings lead on it?
That's Gilbert Moore. Gilbert is our lead singer, yes.
And what part do you sing on it?
Well, I'm right up under him. I'm doing like second tenor, first sometimes.
And what part does Alvis sing?
Alvis is really a tenor, because Sean is doing tone. So we have a first tenor, second tenor, tone, bass.
Okay. And the bass we just talked about was Mill Edwards.
Yes.
So when you cut that record, did you have some idea that it was going to be such a big hit?
No, we didn't. We were just doing local club work, you know, and so we decided to, we have a band out of Minnesota that we worked with a lot, so we decided to put it together and went to the studio and did a demo. And I know we liked it, but we didn't even know, you don't know, you know, so, and that's when we went over there and...
So you're saying when you took it to Bunky and you actually played him a demo version that you cut?
Right.
You didn't, like, sing it for him. You actually had a recorded version you played for him?
No, we played a demo.
So that was like a studio acetate, like a dub that you cut in the studio?
Right. Made, you know, 10. You can't play it.
Yeah, because the
many times, you know.
So do you know if any copy still exists of that original demo version?
No, I don't. I doubt it.
Okay, it'd be cool. It'd be cool to hear that like first demo version that you came up with. So you actually did you sign a contract with Bunky?
Yes.
And so did you think that it was going to originally come out on Constellation Records?
You know, we were so excited. We didn't know. We thought it was. Yes, we did. We thought it were going to come out on Constellation. But when they pressed and everything, we received some to get to the jocks over there, and we seen Bunky Records, so we didn't know what was happening.
Okay. Well, he was pretty successful with his own label, and I know Constellation didn't last much longer, so it's probably good that you got on the new label. So that when that record broke, became a hit very quickly? Like, what was the story?
No, they call it the sleeper, you know, because we had that different kind of licks in there with the bass and all that. So I guess people had to wait and say, whoa, okay. And at that time, James Brown and Aretha Franklin had the top charts, you know, that's all you heard back in the day. Then we came in with that freak sound, and you know, it took a time for it to catch on, because they called it a sleeper.
Okay. So that record didn't it cross over pop too? Like it got white radio play and black radio play?
Oh yes, we hit the pop charts, and because they thought we were white.
Okay, you're saying the white radio thought you were white artists?
Yes, we was getting booked in all kind of places, you know, and supper clubs. You know, we going in there with 7-8-piece band. Up there eating steaks and everything, scared these people to death.
So they were surprised when black guys came out, you're saying?
Yeah.
You know. So that record, did it get more play on pop radio than it did on R&B radio?
That record looked like it was coming out the sidewalk. Everybody played it.
Okay.
You know, pop and R&B. It was like it was coming out the sidewalk. You know, everywhere I turned, I'd be hearing it. You know, and I sang it so much that I hope that sometimes I forgot my lyrics.
So did Mill Edwards become a permanent member of your group because of that record?
Yes.
So he originally just was on the record, and then you decided to put him in the group because that record was such a big hit. Is that the story?
Yeah, mainly. And then he had more experience than we had on that road. And mainly, he was showing us the ropes because we just was in Milwaukee. So he had been with the Shepherds. So he knew the ins and outs of everything. So he was like big brother to us.
So was he older than you guys?
Well, yeah, he's probably not that old.
Oh, well, you guys had been around for a while, too, so.
Yes.
And you said you had been doing supper clubs. Were you talking about clubs in Chicago or actually outside of Chicago?
No, when I meant supper clubs, is when we started working off Get On Up. You know, we started, you know, they didn't know, I don't know, but they thought we was white, I guess.
Yeah, I'm just asking, where were the clubs? Like, did you start touring nationally?
Yes, Canada, we've been so many places, so.
And was that the first time that you were doing music full-time? Or were you doing music full-time when that came out?
Yes, we was always doing music. We was always we was working every week.
Okay. So Bunky ended up cutting a lot of records on you, and he cut a whole album. And pretty much all the records are great. You're one of the few groups I want to say that you cut a lot of records, and you pretty much never cut a bad record. Just like your harmonies are really nice, and you have a distinctive kind of, the falsetto harmony you have is really tight on all the records.
No, thank you.
So I want to play one of the records, other records that you cut on Bunky Records before we move on to the other labels you cut on. So this track is called Everybody's Laughing, and then we'll talk a little bit more.
Okay.
Okay, that was just the Esquires with one of the many excellent records they cut for Bunky Shepherd on his Bunky record label. That track was called Everybody's Laughing. And if you're just tuning in, I have Sam Pace on the phone. Sam was a member of the Esquires, and he is talking about his group's music, and we're playing their record, so you should definitely keep tuned. So, Sam, what besides Get On Up, what was the biggest record that you got the most play on besides Get On Up that came out on the Bunky label?
Well, the second one was called Get Away.
Okay.
And that came, that knocked us out. You know, that did pretty good for us.
Okay. And then in Chicago, did you get any play on, like for example, the Everybody's Laughing, did that get any play?
Yes. It wasn't a single, but, you know, it was on the album.
Yeah, I played it off of a single.
Oh, you played it?
Yeah, it's a B-side, I think. It's the flip of In Get Away.
Oh, okay.
He
was doing so many things back then.
Yeah, you cut a lot of great tracks. Like, a lot of groups will cut a few good tracks and put throwaway songs on the B-side, but
mm-hmm.
you cut a lot of nice cuts. So, one thing I wanted to ask was, were you still living in Milwaukee at the time?
Yes, we always did live here.
So were you traveling back and forth to Chicago a lot?
Right. That was like, Chicago is really like home, you know. So we was there just as much as we was here, you know, in Chicago.
And so did you practice with Mill Edwards? Like, he still lived in Chicago, right?
Right.
So
yeah, we had a practice room. And so that's where we did a lot of our rehearsals, because we'll come in, we'd stay with Millard, or we'd stay at Bunky's house.
Okay.
And we stayed until we got it did.
So how often did you come into town to practice?
Whenever was needed, you know. So it'd be something like, we may come in, like on a Monday, and by Wednesday we back here, you know, whenever we get it right.
Okay, so you'd be in almost every week practicing,
yes,
for a few days, and you said you were touring a lot too.
Yes.
What were some of the big acts that you played shows with?
Oh wow, I did shows with Glenn Campbell. What is his name? Diamond. I forgot his name.
Neil Diamond.
Neil Diamond.
Okay.
And James Brown, Franklin. I think I've been with everybody. We done been on shows with everybody. Marvin Gaye, Miracles, Gladys and the Pips, Intruders.
So the white acts you just mentioned, did you do shows with them at the Supper Club type venue?
No, we did some a lot of things we were doing, like for colleges.
Okay.
That's when Neil Diamond, we did some things with colleges and like that, you know.
What were some of the big colleges that you played?
You know, I don't remember. You see, back then, you just, all things, you know, you just pull up and you there. And you get out and do your thing and get back in the ride.
And did you guys have...
So we did a lot of stuff in the South, too. North Carolina, South Carolina. A lot of colleges down through there.
Okay. Did you guys have a band that you traveled with too?
Yes.
Who was the band? Were they a Milwaukee band? Or?
Yes, most of it was family. Our brother, it was Perry Moore, Charles Moore. They called their name, you know, was the Navajo Train.
The band was called the
Navajo Train. Yes.
And they were and the brothers of the Moores were, or the family of the Moores were in the band. You're saying,
right? Uh-huh.
And you guys. Soon after the Bunky Records went to Wand Records, is that right?
Yes.
Was that still through Bunky Shepherd?
Yes, it was. It was like a merger thing, because it was moving kind of fast.
Okay.
And so Bunky pulled out, did some things with them, so.
And
you know, to meet the demand, because that thing, you know, Get On Up was moving real fast back then.
So, what was the biggest hit record you cut on Wand Records?
Dave, You Got the Power.
Okay. So, I'm going to play that record, and we could talk a little bit more.
Okay.
This is the Esquires with a record they cut on Wand Records. Do you remember what year this came out? Was it like 1969?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the lineup was the same... Same as on Get On Up, is that right?
Right.
Okay, so this is the Esquires with You Got the Power.
Oh,
Okay, that was just the Esquires with their track You Got the Power, which came out on Wand Records, I think around 1969. And if you're just tuning in, I have on the phone Sam Pace, original member of the Esquires. So on that cut, Sam, it's pretty much the same members as on Get On Up, is that right?
Yes, it is.
And you guys ended up cutting on Wand Records, you cut another record called I Don't Know.
Yes.
And I think I've seen it in listings of the label, but you cut a third record called Whip It On Me. Did you actually record, you actually recorded Whip It On Me as the Esquires, is that right?
Yeah, we had did it first, you know. And but the Bucky had Sons had a group, and so we instead of releasing it up on the Esquires, we let them record it. We wrote that for them. So then they did it.
And his the group that his son was in was called the Impalas. Is that right?
Yes, right.
And his son was Stan Shepherd.
Right.
And so you actually did you write that song?
Yes, we wrote that. Yes.
And did you guys ever write anything else for any other groups?
We did a lot of writing. Okay, at that time we was just mainly writing for us, but we have did other songs for people, you know.
Did you guys write anything else that got recorded by anyone else besides the Impalas?
Prince did some things on some of our songs.
Oh, Prince recorded some of your songs?
Yeah, Prince did, but he didn't do it. He didn't record it, but one of his people recorded. We did Get On Up.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you didn't write it for them. They just pretty much recovered the song.
Right. We just got a thing in the mail saying that he wanted to record it, so we let him do it, you know.
That was pretty nice.
Mm-hmm.
So on one, another thing you guys did was you sang behind Betty Moore again, right?
Right.
So she cut a record. She cut a cover of It's My Thing, and then backed with Speed Up, which was a great cut.
Right.
So did she rejoin the group, or you just cut that one record behind her? What was the story?
Well, we recorded it for her, you know.
So was she still with Odell Brown and the Organizers?
At that time, if I can remember correctly, I think she was doing her own thing then.
Okay, so she was a solo artist?
Yes. She did a lot of things on her own.
So did she sign to Wand, or did that record happen through Bunky also?
Yes.
Okay, so he probably produced that record?
Mm-hmm.
So then after that, after your Wand records, you guys were on a whole bunch of record labels. Like one label you were on was Lamar Records, which was Chicago-based record label. I think Walter Gardner had something to do with the label.
Right.
And you cut what, in my opinion, was one of the greatest Chicago soul records of all time, Girls in the City.
Yes.
Which is, I think, funny that a Milwaukee group does one of the greatest Chicago soul records of all time. But when I hear this song, it's just so Chicago-sounding to me. And your harmonies are so tight on the record. So the record, do you remember how you got onto Lamar Records? Where you just signed with Bunky and he just put your stuff on different labels?
Yeah, we just got, you know, to tell you the truth, it was moving so fast. I don't remember how we got on Lamar, but I know Bunky had something to do with it.
And the lineup was still the same, is that right?
Yeah, the lineup was the same. So, because, you know, okay, way I remember, you know, after we left one, and then, you know, things were slowing down a bit, and so we, I looked around, we had this other company, so that's how that happened.
Okay.
I'm trying to remember it all real fast, but it ain't coming.
And one thing that's interesting about Girls in the City is if you look at the songwriter, it's actually Tony Hester,
mm-hmm.
who was a Detroit songwriter who
right.
he mainly wrote for the Dramatics. Do you know? Cause, and then what was interesting was there was like some weird Chicago-Detroit connections through Bunky, like the track you did, Dancing in a Hole in the World, was also done by a Detroit artist mm-hmm. with the same backing track. So you have no idea about how Bunky had those Detroit connections, do you?
No, I don't. I heard about it, you know, and I heard about it, but I think Bunky was already in moving into L.A.
Okay. So, do you remember what year he moved to L.A.?
No, let's see. That'd be late 70s.
Okay, well, this stuff was coming out early 70s, so this was still before then, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So let me play the record Girls in the City, and we could talk a little bit more.
Okay.
So this is the Esquires with a great record called Girls in the City. Okay, you are tuned to WHBK 88.5 FM in Chicago. You are listening to the Sitting in the Park show. And if you are just tuning in, today is Esquires Day, where we're playing the Esquires records. And I have on the phone Sam Pace, original member throughout all the records, pretty much, of the Esquires. And the track I just played was called Girls in the City, and that came out probably sometime around 1970, 71, something like that, on a Chicago record label called Lamar. So, Sam, are you there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay. So, that record, did it get a lot of play in Chicago?
Yes, it did. It got a lot of play.
And
people kind of caught on to it, you know.
And with that record, do you know if it got national play too, or was it local hits in other cities?
Yes, it was national.
Okay. So throughout the 70s, were you guys touring?
Yes, all that time.
Okay. And did your membership stay the same through most of the 70s?
No. Okay. Like I said, Sean was in and out of the group, you know.
Okay.
And then most of it was, most of it was just me, Elvis, and Gilbert.
So you, Elvis, and Gilbert were the three core members of the group.
Right.
And Sean, I know he cut a couple records on the Magic Touch label in Wisconsin, just as Sean Taylor. But you're saying he didn't just leave the group, he sort of left and came back at different points.
Yes, he did.
Is he singing on all the records I played so far?
Yes.
So he sings on all the Bunky stuff and on Girls in the City. So after that Lamar record, you were on a bunch of different record labels. You were on Capitol Records. And on Capitol Records, you cut a track called Reach Out and Listen to Me.
Right.
Did that record get any play?
Reach Out? I'm trying to remember.
Do you know what the story was with Capitol Records at the time? Like, I know the Impalas also were on Capitol Records for
right.
a second. So Bunky must have had... And there was a bunch of Chicago artists on that label. So Bunky must have had some deal with them. Were you supposed to cut an album for them, or did you cut any more material, or was it just that single?
It was just that single we did when we were at Capitol.
Okay. And another record label you were on was Hotline Records, and that was actually based out of Nashville. Do you remember anything about that? That was also pretty much through Bunky?
That was through Bunky, yeah.
Okay. And you cut aside Henry Ralph and Listen to Me. Did anything happen with those sides at all?
Well, we got play on it, but it didn't do as well as we wanted to do, but it sold.
Okay, actually, it was Henry Ralph and My Sweet Baby. I'm sorry, I said the
right.
slide wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And so then one other label you were on around the time was called Rocky Ridge.
Yes, we were on Rocky Ridge.
And if I look at the label, it says L.A., but it says it's actually a division of MGM Records.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever sign with MGM, or was it also just through Bunky the whole time?
It was through Bunky.
Okay. So he was pretty much just placing your material on different labels trying to get a hit.
That's how it broke down. Yes, it did.
But do you think that there's any specific reason why you, I mean, because the material was all really good, all the tracks you cut, why you never had as big a hit as Get On Up in the 60s? Was it just a luck thing?
Yeah, you could call it that. You know, it was just that time for something new, something different. So, and it jumped. You know.
And did Mill Edwards stay with the group? Like, how long did he stay with the group?
Mill was with us a long time.
Okay.
Mm.
So he's on that. For example, he sings on "Dancing a Hole in the World."
Yes.
And is Sean on that record, too?
I'm trying to remember. No, he's not on that.
Okay, so you cut a bunch of records before you went back, and you cut some records on Milwaukee label and a few other more local labels. Let me play one of the records you cut, and then we could talk a little bit more. This is the B-side of... the record you cut on Hotline Records, and this is called My Sweet Baby.
Okay.
Oh,
okay, that was just the Esquires was an excellent cut they cut called My Sweet Baby that I think came out around sometime in the early 70s on one of the many record labels that they were on that Bucky Shepherd placed their records onto. So at that time, one of the last records you cut with Bucky was a remake of Get On Up. It was called Get On Up 76.
Yes.
And it was actually, it was on a Detroit record label called Jupar Records.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Did you record it in Detroit?
No, we did that in Chicago.
Okay. Did you cut all your records in Chicago pretty much?
Yes, we did. We did the last two or three, we did them in L.A.
Oh, the last two or three records, you cut them in L.A.?
Yes.
Okay, so that Jupar record label, you don't know anything about it, do you? Because Bunky's son was later in a group called Living Proof that was actually on that same label.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it actually became part of Motown, too. So, but you don't know the story behind the label at all?
No, I don't have a clue as to what that were, you know.
Okay. So, on the Get On Up 76, was Mill Edwards still in the group?
Pardon me?
Was Mill Edwards still in the group? Did I ask you that?
Oh, no, not at the time we did Get On Up 76.
Okay. So, how did he end up leaving the group? Like, did he just kind of go and do his own music thing?
He wanted to reestablish himself and get back into his music, you know. And everybody was kind of looking at that way at that time.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So we were just me and the brothers.
Okay. So the group then became, it was mainly three guys. It was you, Sam Pace, and then Gilbert and Alvis Moore. Is that right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I think after that, did you stay affiliated with Bunky? Because his name is not on the last few records that you
No,
did.
No. We would get with another guy here out in Milwaukee named Flip.
Okay. What was his name? I think his name is on one of the records.
Yeah.
His name is just Flip.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. It says product. It says
right.
Jay Flippin is the producer. Is that him?
Right, that's him.
Okay. So you ended up cutting a record on the New World label out of Milwaukee.
Right.
Do you remember what year that happened?
Mm. Wow. Okay, let me try to go back. Okay, let's say about 79, something like that.
Okay. And what was the lineup on this record? Was it still just the three of you, or did you get new
members?
No,
we had a friend of ours that we were saying we called Pete Scott.
Pete?
He was in there. He was doing, when it first come on, he was doing that part, but then it was me, Alvis Gilbert.
I didn't catch his name. What's his name, Peach?
His name, Pete Scott.
Peach Scott?
Peach, yes, Pete Scott.
Peach like the fruit?
No, Pete, P-E-T.
Teach?
Pete.
I'm sorry. It's hard.
Like Peter was Pete.
Pete?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry about that.
Well, you can call him Peter Scott, but...
Yeah, it's just hard with the phone connection, I think.
Yes.
So, and this record that you cut, it was Let Me Build You a New World and Stay.
Right.
Did this get any play in Milwaukee at least?
Yes, it got good play. We got good air time on that.
Which was the intended A side?
That was the A.
Which one was the A side?
Yeah, you're a New World.
Okay. I like the Stay side a lot. It's like a nice ballad track. So I will play. So, and where was this record recorded?
We record in Chicago.
Oh, in Chicago.
Right.
Okay, so let me play this record, and we could talk a little bit more.
Okay.
This is the Esquires, and this track is called Stay.
Bye. of it all, about that silly fight we had last night. When it touched you, oh, I couldn't bear it at all. Stay with me. I couldn't control myself when I found out you had left. But what was I supposed to do when I gave my love to you? Gave it all to you. Oh, oh, yeah. Your love is like a pot of gold at the end of a rainbow. But take to go.
Okay, that was just the Esquires from the late 70s on a Milwaukee label called New World, and that track was called Stay. Sam, do you remember who ran that label? Was it Flip that ran the label?
Yeah, that Flip was the owner of the label, yeah.
Okay, and you said that the side Let Me Build You a World got play in Milwaukee and Chicago, is that right?
Yes.
But you said it was recorded in Chicago.
Right.
And you said there was one member who was Pete, what was his last name again?
Pete Scott.
And he was just from Milwaukee?
Yes, he was from here. I knew him all my life.
Is he younger than you guys?
We all around the same age.
Did Pete ever sing with any other groups?
Him and Sean used to sing and recorded some things together.
Okay. Were there any other members that ever sang with you on any of your final records? Or was it just one new guy, Pete?
Yeah, it was just Pete at that time.
Okay, so it was a four-man group for your last few records.
Yes, it was.
So your last couple records, one of them came out on a Chicago label called Lasco Records, and it was called The Fish.
Right.
And the flip of it was called My Lady. And then you had one more record that came out on Cigar Man Records.
Right.
So, and you were mentioning before that they were actually recorded in L.A.?
Yes, we recorded those in L.A.
What's the story? How did you get to L.A. To end up doing recording?
Well, Fred Darnell, knew my father, And so we hooked up, and he said, do some things with you. And so we got it together and then went out there and went to L.A. And
Who was Fred Darnell?
Fred Darnell, some old family member.
But who was he? He was just a guy?
He was a producer.
Oh, he produced the records,
yeah,
you're saying?
Yeah, he produced those.
So, and you cut these all in the same session in L.A.?
Yes, uh-huh.
And they just ended up being put out on different labels?
Right.
So, the first one that came out was called The Fish and
right.
My Lady.
Right.
It says on the record, produced by Al Farrow and Jay Levine. Do you know who those people are?
Larry Farrell is the arranger.
Okay.
And Jay Levine was the guy that was had the label.
Okay, he had that Lasco Records label.
Right.
Do you know how you got to the label or how you found those guys?
He came to us, you know, because we was all sitting around. So like we used to do, we'd get in the car, and went to Chicago and looked around trying to get with a label. And we talked with him and decided that we gonna go with that label. So that's how that worked out.
So did you already record it and then you placed it on the label?
Like, yeah. We just went and did it. Went out to L.A. and did it.
They didn't send you to L.A. You already had it recorded before.
Yeah, right.
And then you just needed someone to put it out.
Right. We needed a label for it.
Okay. And then the last record you did was on a label called Cigar Man.
Right.
Do you know where that label was based out of?
That was our label.
Oh, that was your guys' own label.
Right, that's our label.
So you pretty much put it out because you didn't have another label to put it out.
Right, right.
And so you guys actually did more material from that same session. It just didn't come out?
No, it wasn't. One wasn't released.
How much material did you cut at that session?
Well, we had about, we did about 7 songs.
Okay. Did you intend to release an album ever?
Yes, we were going to do it.
It just never came together, pretty much.
Right.
Okay, well, let me play a nice cut, I guess, off of your last record. This is the B-side of the record. And, hold on. Sorry, this track is called What Good Is Music? I blanked on the title. This track is called What Good Is Music? And then we'll talk a little bit more. So this is the Esquires with their very last record from 1980, and this is called What Good Is Music? Okay, that was just the Esquires with the last record that they released from 1980, and that track was called What Good Is Music, and it came out on their own Cigar Man label. And if you're just tuning in, I have on the phone from Milwaukee Sam Pace, who was a member of the Esquires and sang on all their records. So, Sam, did you guys ever do any music stuff after that record from 1980?
No.
Did you guys continue to perform?
Yes, we still do. We still do our gigs and everything.
Okay. And the shows you do, is it you and Gilbert and Elvis pretty much?
Right, it's just the three of us.
And so you do gigs mainly in Milwaukee?
No, we don't. Minnesota, Detroit, and all over in the South Carolinas, north of South Carolinas, and that drive.
And when is the last time you guys did a show?
It's been a while. It's been at least about four or five months.
Okay, and Sean Taylor passed away. Is that right?
Yes, he passed. Yes.
Sometime in the 90s.
Yes.
Okay. And is that guy Pete still around?
No, Pete is he passed too.
Okay, that's sad.
Yes.
Pretty much none of you guys have recorded anything else since this record from 1980, pretty much.
No, we just do gigs.
Okay. Well, hopefully one day you'll have more material released or more of your old material that was unreleased released.
Mm.
So first of all, thanks so much for being on the phone and doing this interview. It was great to hear your story. You guys are such an important, you had big hits. I consider you guys an important Chicago soul group, even though most of you weren't from Chicago.
Yeah, this is like home.
And so do you have any last words for the listening audience?
Just whenever we in Chicago and y'all hear about us, come out and see us.
Okay, and definitely let me know because I will announce it.
I would definitely let you know.
Okay, well, thanks again. And for the rest of the show, I will be playing all Esquires records because they've got so many great records. This next record I'm going to play is the Esquires with a track they did on Bunky's label called State Fair.
All right.
Okay, you're tuned to WHBK 88.5 FM in Chicago. You have been listening to the Sitting in the Park show. I hope you appreciated the interview I did with a member of the Esquires. If you're interested, I will have that up on my website later tonight, along with all of the other interviews I've done. The website is sittinginthepark.com. And the last set I played, all Esquires. First was State Fair. After that, That Ain't No Reason. Listen to Me. No Doubt About It. Why Can't I Stop? I Don't Know. And the last cut was the Answer record they did to Get On Up. That was And Get Away. Okay, thanks so much.